I've done community organizing for the last 12 years. And when we're dealing with people who are low income, and in particular it's women with children, it's food, transportation, and daycare. And if we can provide those things, we can usually get people out to the meetings. If we don't provide that, then they just don't come. They can't.
Well, Anne, we used to struggle with this every time that we organized a meeting around income assistance issues, and that is, do you or don't you invite the ministry? And if you don't invite them and they show up, how do you deal with that? And did you ever have to make some decisions around that? I would always argue, and I didn't always prevail, and that was that if people are going to come whose income is derived from the Ministry of Human Resources, it's best not to have their personnel there because they won't feel as free to speak. Now, that wasn't always accepted as a reasonable statement, but...
Well, in our community, being still a fairly small community, for the most part, we chose not to invite ministry, and we knew who they were. So they couldn't, it was difficult for them to just show up. And had they done so, we probably would have had a strategy that we would say, well, we didn't expect you to come. We'd like you to make a short presentation, but then we'd like you to leave. that's been our strategy, too, when we have invited them, that we invite them for a specific amount of time, because otherwise people don't feel free to speak on issues that concern them.
Could I just add something to that? Because I was at an event about a week ago. It wasn't organized by the coalition. It was a disability forum in Vancouver. And I think there was a number of us that were there. There was a panel. I was on the panel. In the audience, there was, I think, at least six financial workers. You know. Seven, beg pardon. Beg pardon. No. There were nine. I thought there was somewhere... But they were clearly there because they were in support of people, you know, what was happening to people. So I think it depends on the situation, because we do have allies, you know, people that work in government, and sometimes they come as BCGU representatives, right? They're not coming as, I'm a ministry employee and I'm explaining you why we're doing this, because... they know there's no good reason, right? So I think that we're building new coalitions all the time. And we are in a very different time now. So a lot of the things that we used to do, we're kind of rethinking a little bit, you know? And there is now a bit of a radical fringe out there. And maybe that's a good thing, you know? So I'm all into kind of looking at new ways of doing things. And if that means including, you know, people... of all different kinds at these forums, then great.
Yeah. I'd just add to that I think sometimes when you're struggling with whether I guess EAW should be represented or not, my preference would be to deal with them via their union. So perhaps ask the union to provide leave time so that the people are on union business, which I, for some reason in my view makes them a little more less, makes them less responsible to the ministry if they find out things.
Lisa, just keep going. Apparently EAWs call themselves ERs now.
Yeah.
Just one of the things with regard to that is we had a forum in Victoria last March about the proposed changes that were coming out. And actually somebody came from the employment folk rehab. I'm dating myself here. Had to do with the employment side, people helping people find jobs. And this counselor came who I guess a number of people have not good feelings about. So one of the things that we did was to ask the people there to identify that there was a person here from this ministry, and did people feel comfortable or uncomfortable with that person remaining, and then sort of let people decide how they wanted that to go. And we did ask that person to leave. So that was kind of our way of organizing that. But I wanted to ask you guys and sort of talk about organizing meetings, because it sounds like you have funding to rent halls, and that's one of our biggest problems, is we don't have money for that stuff. And we went approaching churches, which was ironic, I thought, to ask them to donate a hall space to us, and there was only one church that would do it, and it was about half the size of what we knew we needed. So lots of people came who couldn't sit down and then finally had to leave because they just couldn't physically stay. But it was really frustrating, and you know, I know that part of it has to do with our fundraising, but I guess I think that since then it's snowballed, because some of our members belong to churches, and they were outraged when they heard that this had happened, and they approached their churches, and their churches have since said, well, what can we do to help now? So that was kind of a good outcome, but it was really frustrating at the time. Thanks.
One of the places I think where you can go to get some space is to your city or your municipality, and ask them to allow you to use their community. If it's accessible, yeah. Well, Nanaimo, I think, is probably like a mid-sized city, I guess, in terms of BC. And there's a social planning advisory committee to council. And they can book rooms and at the local community center, and in fact ours are accessible, but so that's one place to go. And I think municipalities now aren't going to be surprised when community groups come to them and ask them for those kinds of supports. And that's one of the things when city councils say, well, that's not within our purview, you know, we don't get involved in that kind of stuff. Those are the times and the ways that municipalities can start supporting their communities by allowing you the space to meet those kinds of things.
Thank you, Councillor Brennan.
I know that because I'm a councillor.
I just wanted to talk about two types of community organizing that I've been involved with lately, and the first one is the disability forum, because I was part of the group called Anti-Poverty Committee that helped to organize that. And the reason I wanted to raise the issue is because the forum we thought was really successful to one degree. We wanted to get information out to people. We wanted to, you know, to help people in a large group to fill out their applications and do the disability application process, the review process. But we also wanted to try to get action coming out of the meeting. And it was, so a lot of people attended. There was well over 200 people, Terry, at that meeting. Eh? At well over 200, it was a huge turnout. But what we didn't do is that last step. We didn't allow time to get together to determine what our next step was going to be. So it was, you know, it was great. We had wonderful presentation. We had a great panel. Lots of people show up, lots of brainstorming done, different ideas, but then we didn't come together at the end to determine where do we go from here. I mean, we did get the lists of names, and that was great so that we could contact people, but they, you know, at the end we didn't give enough time for that, so that aspect didn't work.
Yeah, I would say perhaps I wouldn't say it didn't work. I would just say that you can now take the next step.
Yeah.
Use the list that you got, call another meeting for the specific purpose of taking the information gathered at the first meeting and apply it to developing an action plan. So you can just say next step. We're calling the next step. So
yeah.
Yeah, I think that also sometimes meetings are just held as information sessions.
That wasn't our intent, though. The intent was to come out of there with some action plan in mind, right? And the other action that I and organizing that I wanted to bring up was because it was raised earlier in the week by the keynote speaker, Bruce Hardy, who spoke about the Woodward Squat. I was one of the original organizers of the Woodward Squat, and this is an action that we thought we planned really, really well, and because this is originally what we had intended. We had intended on doing this sort of a political action where we would make a point, you know, do this a symbolic protest and make our point, raise the issue of homelessness and how it had been ignored and how the Liberals were cutting social housing. And all us activists were going to do that, and advocates in the community were going to do that, and then we were going to, you know, do the rah-rah, get the press, make the point, get the media, and then we were going to leave. After 7 days, we had this sort of this plan organized that we were going to do this many things in 7 days, and then we were going to go away. That was the original intent. What we hadn't considered is that the people who were homeless were actually going to come and decide, gee, I'm homeless. This protest is for me. I want to become a part of this protest, and I need a place to live, so I'm actually going to live here now. I want to live here now because I don't have anywhere to go. So here was an event that we thought was really well organized, and you know, we had, this is what we were trying to achieve, and it became something totally different, which in my view, I think it became a really great thing. I'd really disagree with Bruce's assessment of what happened with Woodward's. I think that the whole action at Woodward's has really brought to light again homelessness, and like the homeless people aren't invisible now. You know, they're not invisible, they're there. This is a real, you know, real crisis in our society, and I think that that is what that event did.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that was true organizing, and I honest to God, I hate that word empowerment, but in fact, that just, you know, it really kindled something in people, and yeah, it was no longer under your control, which was, I thought, just an absolutely fascinating turn of events.
Well, I agree with that. I disagreed yesterday when Bruce said that. He said a bunch of really interesting and excellent things. That was a big one that I didn't agree with, because it should have been acknowledged. This should have been broadened, but it would have been up to trade unions and political parties to say, we should go down and support these people. We should show that homelessness is affecting families as well, and it's not necessarily the people involved in organizing it who marginalized it. It's up to other groups. And so there's no, I mean, it was an excellent event that has brought that focus there, and it should be broadened, and other groups should take that on instead of criticizing the people who did it. Thank goodness somebody's doing something, just like when the MLA's office was occupied in Victoria. There was some ruckuses that happened. There was incredible police violence, actually, but I think the mainstream response among lots of people that I spoke with was, thank goodness somebody's doing something at this time. It's too bad it couldn't be broadened. But in terms of this around community organizing, I think there are events that are like reassessment workshops and that are meant for people in poverty to figure out strategies, and at those sorts of meetings, it shouldn't necessarily be financial assistance workers or EAWs present, but it's also a time where we seriously need to look at solidarity, and so we need to have separate sort of meetings that broaden it out and work through these. And I know there's some real difficulties in coalition politics in Victoria around sort of actions that highlight specific workers, like having, you know, media and showing up and having some of the direct action, which gets results. Thank goodness in some cases that happens. But the BCGU taking that to be personally shedding light on them rather than the legislation and the government. So I was at a meeting, and you were actually a speaker at it. I'm sorry, I forget your name. And it was Seth Klein was there, and BCGU employment and assistance workers, and there was an EAW who stood up there, and he said they have flex days biweekly, and there should be, like, the union should take responsibility to open up a space and have, like, food and political discussion about political mobilizing, general strike, this sort of thing. He was absolutely militant and really reaching out to other people in the community to organize with, and I think we have to really support any of these kinds of solidarity actions when they're genuine, because people in poverty aren't going to be able to need to link with groups with economic power, I think, as well, to make any real change. And hopefully when unions need solidarity, then people in poverty will go out in numbers to support them. And yeah, just the importance of solidarity I was going to speak to. So
I think your comments about the coalitions that are sprouting up across the province, and a lot of them have been spearheaded by the labor councils and CLC and BC Fed, and I think that those are I wouldn't say they're gifts to us, but they're things that we all should be paying attention to. And I know in the area that I live in, the coalition is mostly unions, and we're just dying to have anti-poverty activists, nonprofits join with us, because we're in this together, and the broader the coalition, the stronger that voice, for sure. But we too are experiencing those kinds of problems, and coalitions are problematic because of that.
With that panel that was discussing, it's kind of unnerving actually to come to a meeting like this when you've been on a panel and spilled your guts, and then somebody stands up and says, "And I remember you were there." And which part do you remember in particular? You know? Coming out of that, they were actually hoping to form a committee, organizing committee of employment assistance counselors, clients, and advocates. And at the forum that APOV and Status of Women did, or APC, sorry, I spoke to Ginger Richards, who had asked me to be at that panel, and she said, well, and asked her why that hadn't been followed through with, and she said some of the FOS got a little anxious about it, but then she was pleased to see that she thought there was only seven at that thing, so hopefully they're going to kind of bring that together again and try and support people to fight some of the changes that are there. But it was an excellent event, and one thing that they brought up, there was a woman there from Victoria who said, they were emphasizing that some employment assistance folks are on side, and she was saying that what she found disturbing was that in traveling around, making site visits, and she mentioned Colwood and Victoria and whatnot, to find those employment and assistance workers who are literally chortling in their glee because this is all happening. So there are definitely some who aren't on side too. But hopefully we can enlist them for some support. I said something the other day about their money, and people looked at me funny, but I don't know. They put on that form, and they've, talked about giving support, so maybe we can get them involved.
I didn't come to speak about coalitions, but I'll just make a comment on that. We have a coalition in Salmon Arm, which is very strong in terms of not only union, but a good cross-section of our local community. And the way we were able to do that was when we realized it was union-heavy, we went out and we actually approached organizations and said, may we send a speaker or two, and encouraged organizations to come and join us. And it has been successful.
And they've done it.
Yes.
That's good. That's really good to know.
I just wanted to speak about a couple of ideas that we've come up with in the Shuswap area. The first one was not an original idea. It was actually came out of Vernon, where we had a number of years ago, or over a period of several years, what we called poverty working group. And it was designed of advocates who came together on a fairly regular basis, and we actually met at the community law office in Vernon, or we met in Salmon Arm. And we rotated back and forth, and we discussed issues and problems and support for each other. And as things dwindled down and we got to the point of the law office closing and one thing and another, we no longer had that communication. And so a week ago, we sort of resurrected that and had a meeting in a rural area of Salmon Arm where we invited advocates who attended from Kelowna and Kamloops and Salmon Arm, the Vernon area, and so on. And we now plan to continue that. And it's good support for us, if nothing else, to discuss our issues. Another one is in Salmon Arm itself. I had the occasion to be invited to go and speak to a joint meeting of NeighborLink and a Church Action Committee organization. And they said to me, what are the poverty issues and what are the needs and what are this and that? And I, of course, spoke at length about it. And we came up with an idea of inviting people to come to a meeting, and I was asked to select the people. So I was to select four people with disabilities, four people who were the employed poor, four people who were single parents of one sort or another. One was actually a single grandma. And the fourth category was two seniors living in poverty and two employable single people. And we had four facilitators, all of whom had good facilitation skills. We met at a church, and the first part of the evening was spent in saying to the people, look, there's terrible impacts, we know that, to people who are faced with these changes of our government. How have they impacted you? And the facilitator, and incidentally, I didn't facilitate. I knew all the people, and it wouldn't have been fair. I could have led had I tried to do that. I was there and worked in the kitchen with the food. And at any rate, the first half was done that way. We then had a break, and we had food. And then we went back, and the facilitator said to them, okay, we now have your stories. We know how it's impacting you. Now, how can we, as groups of Christian-based people, assist you? What's needed in this community that could support you? And they came up, that made a large list. This group now has decided to carry on a meet, and they meet on a regular basis. And as people come and go, one gal found work in Alberta and left, and so another person is invited to join. We have the 16 people. We think that that's a workable size. We're a bit afraid of trying to go too much further. The last meeting we had, they had a potluck supper, and then they had their meeting, and they had a speaker because the election was coming up, and it was someone who had a social justice conscience that came in and actually asked to speak to the group, which was kind of nice. So it's an idea. It's small, but it might work in lots of areas.
Good. Thank you.